You are listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intercoastal Podcast. It's your host, Natasha Lai.
And I'm Daquan Mickens, your other co-host. And today we are happy to have John Marshall from Old Bull Tavern with us. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Awesome. We're looking forward to hearing more about your tavern and just everything that's gone into bringing it to life. So we're happy to have you here. To start us off, can you just share a little bit about the tavern and how you got it started?
Sure. So I came down almost 10 years ago and was looking for a spot. I had had a restaurant in Charleston for a number of years and was tired of the traffic in Charleston and decided I wanted to go someplace that was a little bit more peaceful, and ended up finding a little spot just off downtown on West Street, and got in it and started building and took all my experiences from my other places and decided what I wanted to do there, which was make a place that I wanted to go to, and went to work and got it done.
Very nice.
Yeah, that is good. So could you give us a little like history? When did you move down here and when did it open?
So I moved down here in January of, 2012. Mm-hmm. And I got it open in September 27th of 2012. So that means, you know, when you're opening things on a budget, you try to do things as much as you can by yourself. So, you know, every little piece of paint, every little thing that we did, you know, was done, you know, by me when we opened. And plus, I wanted to have a feel like it had been here for a while. So to do that, you have to source lots of things. Like our paneling in some of the areas came from an old plantation. Our bar top is very old. We have pictures of an old brewery from Wales over there. So it really gives a kind of historical look once you get in it, which you can't accomplish by going to Lowe's and painting everything brand new. So almost all the things on the walls, an old leather sofa, there's an English phone booth in there. There's a old, there's a bull's head that I thought was going to be real easy to get when I named it Old Bull Tavern, but I ended up having to get it on eBay Spain and bring it in, and then when it arrived, it was not as pristine as I would have liked, and ended up having to send it to a local taxidermist to get that done.
Oh, wow.
But, it was built to be very comfortable, built to be a place you'd want to drop in, and not a special occasion place, but the kind of place where you could have really good food, but don't have to dress up to do it. So that was the intent in the beginning.
I love it. I don't know why that made me think of the old TV show Cheers, where they just all go hang out at the bar all the time. But
it's very Cheers-like in that regard. Although, you know, we don't have the same guys sitting in the same spots every day, because at 5 o'clock, there's about 20 people waiting to come in every day when we open the door.
There you go. Sounds like you've got a pretty solid business going. I am curious, how did you come up with the name of Old Bull Tavern?
Well, as I mentioned before, I was in Charleston, and I had a Northern Italian restaurant there called Al Di La. And I have a very specific way of working, and I'm a big guy. And so if I was going from point A to point B, I never really walked around anybody. I just went from point A to point B. So my coworkers and cooks would call me the Bull.
Amazing.
So my nickname was the Bull. And since I sold that, and it's been a few years since I, but between that and opening down here in Beaufort, now I'm the Old Bull.
That's a really cool story.
Thank you.
I love it. Also, when you said you wanted a little bit of a slower paced town, I don't think you could have chosen a better location to open the Old Bull Tavern. So
you're absolutely right. And I had been coming down here when I did live in Charleston, and just, you know, have always loved the area. And one thing I really don't like is traffic. So I get just enough down here, but if I'm stuck on the bridge for a few minutes and have to watch the sailboats go by, I'm good with that.
This is just me wondering this, but from a cooking perspective, how is Beaufort like food scene related to Charleston's food scene, because I know a lot of people tend to think, oh, Charleston is food haven and Buford is not really a foodie town. So I would like to get your perspective on that.
Firstly, Charleston is just a much bigger market. So they have a lot of different types of restaurants as far as, you know, different cuisines. And it's such a restaurant town that, you know, you can't roll a golf ball down the street without hitting a new restaurant. And in fact, when I first moved down here, there's a developer in Charleston that would bring me up. And before he would buy a building, he'd ask me, could I put a restaurant in there? And I would look at it, measure it. And he had no idea what kind of restaurant. He wanted a bar and a kitchen. And he said, if I could do it, he'd ask me if he could do it. And I'd say, yeah, you could do it. And with no regard to whether or not what type of restaurant, he wasn't a restaurateur. He just wanted to lease it to somebody that wanted a liquor license. So, as far as restaurants in general, the quality of food is very high here. I mean, you have all ranges, but I think the whole market is well suited for the number of visitors that come, and the food is at a good level.
And you don't have to wait nearly as long.
It's true.
That's the added bonus right there. Good food, fresh seafood, which is nice, and not a long wait.
Absolutely. Well, it's, you know, sometimes the waits can be challenging when you're visiting because, you know, with the success of Buford and people finding out about it, it can be challenging on the weekends for people that are coming down to visit. So we always encourage people through our website, and I think most others do, to try to make a reservation if you can, if you know you're coming.
Yes.
Very nice. So we've talked a lot about food. So I was curious, what kind of food do you actually serve at the Old Bull Tavern?
So we have a pretty eclectic menu. I mean, it goes anywhere from a wood-fired pizza to braised lamb shank to hamburgers to sliced duck breast. But really what we do is when people ask me what kind of food do I cook, I always tell them it's grandma food if your grandma can really cook. So we make something that kind of an elevated comfort food, global comfort food.
I love that. That's like the most inviting way to like get someone to come, I think, saying like it's grandma food because who doesn't love your grandma's cooking?
Exactly. But you have to put that caveat in there if your grandma knows how to cook.
That is
because my grandmother liked to make reservations more than anything else. So
my one grandma was like that, but my grandpa cooks. So to me, it's grandpa food.
Awesome. And, you know, as an homage to that, many of our employees and many of our guests have donated pictures of their grandmothers that that are on our walls. And so you get the feeling that your grandma's not too far away.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that.
So when we're talking about menus, I noticed on your website, it says that the menu is ever changing. Mm-hmm. How often does the menu actually change?
So the ever changing menu is a twofold thing. One, we like to be ready for anything that comes our way. If you know, soft shell crabs come into season, we print the menu with the soft shell crab on. Someone brings us oysters, or we get some kind of a specialty product, we can make an adaption right away and put that on the menu for that night. The other thing is that because of supply issues sometimes, especially nowadays, you can't always count on what you normally are anticipating to serve to actually show up at your door so you can cook it. So you've got to be pretty adaptable and make the menu changes so that, you know, when the person comes in, everything on the printed menu is actually what you have.
Yeah, that's a real challenge to figure out. Not only just normally always changing it, but then you go and they're like, oh, we're out of this and we don't get this in stock. Now you have to make a beeline towards something else and switch plans.
Absolutely. And you know, you always want to have a certain amount of different things on the menu. So, you know, if some purveyor shows up that normally shows up at 3 o'clock, and you're anticipating something is going to be on that truck and he doesn't have it, you've got to make a 180 and be ready to go with something else. So that's a challenge. But the ever-changing menu just kind of means also that through the season, we can change the menu and adapt to the season and what's coming around. And so we may not have the largest menu on a day-to-day basis, But on an annual basis, we've got a huge menu.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Also some incredible adaptability for you guys. But like you said, soft shell crab is coming up. So that's going to be a good one.
Coming and actually almost go. We got another week left and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, that's true. It is almost the end of it. But that's really, really awesome that you guys are able to, you know, use what's around you. You guys have an awesome location for some very good seasonal food.
And I was going to say, the adaptability on your end, it shows that if someone were to come to Beaufort in the summer, that next time they come, maybe in the fall or winter or even next summer, the menu will be different. So even if you tried everything at one point, something new was always going to be there.
There's going to be things that don't leave the menu. I've had, we do a braised lamb shank, and I've had that dish on my menu 7 years in Charleston at my restaurant there, and 9 years here. So that dish hasn't been off the menu in 16 years. And if I did take it off the menu, I would have some kind of revolt. So
there you go.
And sometimes people, it's interesting to see, because when you do take something off the menu and replace it with something else, some people are like, hey, what happened to my this? Or I only go to this restaurant because of this, because I had people in my last restaurant in Charleston said, you know, first time I came to this restaurant, I had the gnocchi. And every time I've come back, I've had the gnocchi. And in 7 years, I haven't had anything else but the gnocchi. And, it's something they find, they like, and they come in there particularly for that. And even though they kick themselves and say, one day I'm going to try something else on the menu, they may not. So yeah.
People are creatures of habit. We find something we really like, and it's hard to try something else, but that's one of my goals always when I go to new places, is to try something new, even if I have a favorite, which can be really hard. But sometimes you find a new favorite when you reach out. So
that's what I try to tell.
Awesome. Well, you answered my next question already. Actually, I was going to ask if you have like any specialties or things that you keep on your menu constantly. But I know that you guys also obviously are a tavern. So do you have any specialty drinks as well?
Yeah, we have an array of specialty cocktails. I mean, when I started the restaurant, my idea was to, you know, have a good aggressive cocktail program. So we've got an ever-changing list of specialty cocktails that we come up with. Plus, we also, you know, make those. We also feature a historical cocktail every month on our menu. Our wine selection, we probably have the only wine in town that's done with a nitrogen system. So it's keg wine. So with a nitrogen system for wine, the first glass that you pour and the last glass that you pour taste exactly the same, because they're never exposed to oxygen, which is the enemy of wine. So we have 15 or so wines that are on tap by virtue of the nitrogen system.
That's so cool.
Say, never heard of that before, so that's pretty cool to now be like, oh, I know the Old Bull Tavern doesn't have oxygen in their wine.
Yeah, I didn't even know that, like, oxygen, as you put it, was the enemy of wine, so I just learned something new there too.
Sure. I mean, as soon as you open a bottle of wine, it gets exposed to oxygen. And if you can imagine, you know, somebody has 20 bottles of wine on their by the glass list, all those things are open until the next person orders a glass of wine, and could be open overnight or what have you. But this ensures, this system ensures that you get the wine the way the winemaker intended.
Yeah, I know we talked about the specialty drinks. I just wanted to go back over the braised lamb.
Sure.
We would consider that a specialty on the menu side?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's one of the things that we're known for. I did a lot of work in Italy, and so that was one of the dishes that a friend of mine who has an olive oil company, his grandma made for me. Mm-hmm. And when I got back and opened up my own place, I said, well, I'm going to put that on the menu. And then it's just been one of those items that you can't get everywhere, and people are excited about it. So that one's been on there. And also, we have a dish with local shrimp and ricotta and mascarpone gnocchi, and another dish I brought back from Italy, and that's on the menu all the time. So
my mouth is watering right now. Woo!
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you have not seen the food that Old Bull Tavern has cooked. I saw there was a video out. You guys were on a cooking channel. Is that correct?
We've been on a couple of things. Beyond the Check was one of the ones where they kind of an in-depth study of sole proprietors.
Okay.
And then Jesse Bianco does another TV show called Eat It and Like It. And then we've been very fortunate as far as media goes. We've been in a lot of different things. And so we work hard every day, and not just me, but everybody that works for me works hard every day to make sure that we're doing the best that we can do for our customers and for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this last question is definitely a great question for me and anyone that's like me, that are people that come and visit Beaufort. If we're visiting for the first time and stopping by the Old Bull Tavern, what would you recommend we order?
Well, it's always a difficult question to ask because, you know, your menu items are like your kids and you're not supposed to have a favorite.
Of course.
So, some of the more popular dishes are ones that I just mentioned. The lamb shank we're often noted for, but we take as much care in everything that we do so that whatever anybody orders is going to be the best we can do for that product and something that they're going to enjoy. And gnocchi, lamb shank, yep, those are two of the most popular ones, but I wouldn't put anything on the menu if I didn't think it was as good as the gnocchi or the lamb.
Love it.
That's awesome because I typically, like, I don't order things that I don't know, but not, I have that a feeling that if I were to come to Old Bull, that whatever I saw to eat, I'm sure it's going to be delicious and good.
Well, we got an awful lot of people trying real hard to make sure that happens.
Yes.
I love it. Sounds like you've put a lot of love and care and attention into this restaurant and tavern.
You know, and not just me, because, you know, a restaurant can't succeed with just the leader or the you know, I have a partner as well, and I have a great general manager, and, you know, I've got guys that have worked for me now for 8.5, 9 of our 9.5 years. So it's really the kudos to the staff to be able to, you know, cook with love for that long and still be excited about it and still want to do the best they can every day.
Yeah, I can tell when I've seen you guys post on social media, it's a real family-friendly atmosphere, not only just with the guests that come in, but the workers and, like, the co-workers. You can tell everyone truly cares for each other and want to give that experience to the guests.
You're absolutely right. And we, our goal every day is to just, you know, make sure that we're taking care of each other, making sure we're taking care of our guests, and that there's no star in the team where each is important as the other. So we look at it that way. And really the person that we're working hard for, aside from getting along ourselves, is to make sure the guest has the type of experience that we all want them to have. And, you know, when we closed down for the pandemic, we had everybody come back. Even when, you know, the numbers were lower, we all worked together to work through it and made sure, you know, when we closed our doors on March 18th, we had just bought everything, all of our produce and all of our food. And so everyone came back the next day and brought grocery bags, and we gave all of our food away to our employees. And the hardest part of any business, I believe, but especially the restaurant business, where sometimes the guys in the back don't get to see how happy they're making the people out front, is that you want to make sure everyone is appreciated.
Well, I think you guys do a great job of showing that. And if people didn't know before, I think they'll know after this episode how much you guys truly care about the guests and what you guys represent at Old Bull Tavern.
I agree.
Well, I appreciate it. And I'm sure all the folks back there at Old Bull Tavern will appreciate it. And if anybody comes in and references that podcast, we'll say, good, you didn't have to see me in pictures.
There you go. Well, my last question for you before we let you go is, where can people find you to get more information or to show up at your door?
So the best place to find out about us is at oldbulltavern.com or buefordsc.org. Any of those sources will lead you to miles of information about our restaurant. I'm TripAdvisor is another one that we're on. People reference that a lot when they're traveling, but we're on all of the, we don't respond to anything else other than TripAdvisor reviews, but we're obviously on Yelp and all the other ones that follow us and have people give their opinions on.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, I would like to thank you, John, for coming in. We really appreciate it, and it was a pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed this conversation and learning more about Old Bull Tavern and kind of the behind the scenes and how the history of how you guys came to be.
Well, I've enjoyed it and enjoyed meeting both of you, and I hope you'll actually get a chance to learn more about it by coming in there and enjoying it.
Oh, definitely.
I second everything that's been said. It's been wonderful having you, John, and definitely we'll have to get in there and come try some of that food. It sounds delicious.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Now, before we end, we're going to bring on Kat from the Port Royal Cypress Wetlands to talk about the birthday of the birds. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, very excited to have you. So first of all, can you just let people know a little bit about the birthday of the birds?
The birthday of the birds, this is going to be our 12th year. We missed last year because of COVID. And Pete Richards is really the founder of our group, our nonprofit group. And we are working in conjunction with the town to put on this 12th birthday.
Awesome. Love to hear it. So what can people expect at this year's Birthday of the Birds Festival?
Well, we lost our Pete Richards 2 years ago to cancer. And aww. So the very beginning of this wonderful event will be Van Willis will be there, our town manager for Port Royal. And we are going to do a presentation of a plaque in honor of Pete, which we're all very excited about. And after that, you can expect a lot of fun. We will have docents and master naturalists all along the walkway to answer any questions about alligators, turtles, the birds, nesting, anything you can imagine, they'll have an answer for. We also have had wonderful participation from Riverview and Port Royal Elementary. The school children have made hats to celebrate the birthday for the entire community. So they are very creative, and we hope everyone will don a hat while they take the tour.
That's so cute.
It is. They are darling. There's also going to be a scavenger hunt for the children to find all kinds of birds, turtles, who knows what other secrets lie there. And their reward will be a button that it's a darling button that was designed by artist Aki Kato. We also have the Hunting Island Interpretive Center there, and they will be there with critters that they're surprising us. We don't know what kind of critters yet. And Lila Arnold with her Birds of Prey will be there also. And the Conservation Board will be there with color books for the children to take home. This entire thing will be all done with wonderful singing, with our birthday hats, with cupcakes, and a kazoo accompaniment.
We love it.
We are very excited. I think the children and adults will have a very good time.
That's so fun. I love that you incorporate the kazoos, because we know that Beaufort has the wonderful Kazoobie Kazoo Factory.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was going to ask, though, what was the origins of playing the kazoo at the festival? Was it just because the factory's there, or did something spark it?
That was part of it, because the factory was there. And Pete Richards he had a wonderful zest for life. And he thought that would just be absolutely the icing on top of that cake. So we're very excited. We just continue it on, and it's going to be great fun.
Awesome. That's so much fun. The Birthday of the Birds Festival is going to be amazing. Topping it off with kazoos just is like the cherry on top of the cake or the ice cream sundae, whatever, you know. Got to have a good dessert with birthday, right?
That's right. That's right.
But thank you so much, Kat, for coming on and sharing this awesome event with us and just giving us a little sneak preview of what's coming up.
Thank you. And you come join us also. We have a hat for you.
Yes. Got to get those hats. I love that. Do you get to keep the hat?
You can keep the hat. Absolutely.
Amazing. I love little kids' creativity, so that's so fun.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. We hope to see you all out at the Birthday of the Birds Festival, and we hope that you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to follow along, and we'll talk to you all next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Natasha Lai, produced by Relic.